hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
All right, Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Sam and Mike across the way. 2 hours left to play with. Bogus, your updates. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
That is your number to call. Coming up top of the third and final hour, we'll talk a little Packers football with the current analyst, John Kuhn, will join Taz and myself, longtime NFL fullback, two-time Super Bowl champion. John will join us at the top of the third and final hour, right around 8 a.m. Eastern time. Let's kick the, off this hour, Taz. Let's get to
All right.
Let's go camping.
We'll go camping.
Time to go camping, boys and girls. Who better to go sit around the campfire and spitball some football, eat some pork beans, brisket, and throw back some cold ones than with Taz and the Moose?
It's Taz and the Moose, just talking away. It's all you ever heard, talking smack since the day they was born. It's Taz and the Moose, just talking away. It's all you ever heard, talking smack since the day they was born.
All right. Well, there you go. Correct. Yes. All somewhere at a farm. But anyway, or a gun range. Yes. It's Taz and Moose with you right here on this Wednesday morning as we go camping. And how about Antonio Brown, who's sick and tired of hearing about Ben Roethlisberger, who basically told Roethlisberger to shut up already on Twitter. In reference to Roethlisberger saying that he was in the wrong in criticizing Brown on the route that he ran a regular season game last year in Denver where Roethlisberger threw an interception in the end zone.
So Big Ben tries to, you know, be the big, as you say, in wrestling biz, be a babyface, and then AB still goes heel on him, then deletes the tweet. It's tremendous. Basically, the guy's saying, you know, he kind of wishes the friendship didn't go down the drain. You know, he's sad about that. And next thing you know, AB's like, yo, shut up, dude. And then deletes the tweet. It's AB, dude. It's Antonio Brown. It just never ends. It never ends. Even when someone's trying to do something nice, he's a heel.
Well, I mean, if you're Antonio Brown, I mean, isn't it a day late, dollar short?
It is, but you don't have to say nothing. Just leave it alone. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I would have done. There's no reason to tell the guy to shut up. Just leave it alone.
Well, you know, unless he's obviously clearly bothered by it still.
I don't blame him for being bothered by it. He called him out on the radio for, you know, his play. And as a teammate, he should have
been running
that.
The wrong route, right, running a bad route, not getting enough depth to the
no
route.
Doubt, so dude. I don't blame him for being mad about it. I'm just saying.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I agree with you. I agree with you. I guess it's kind of like
He deleted the tweet, though, too.
I was saying that earlier. I know. I know he deleted the tweet, but it was put out there initially, and, you know, maybe then he kind of had a come-to-Jesus moment where he said, you know, maybe, deleting the tweet, not giving him more oxygen would help it out instead of sending it out there the way that he style and fashion, which he did. Obviously, the emotions are still raw. You know, I guess in that tweet, he also said we were never friends. I mean, it's a lot of nonsense when you look at Antonio Brown. Here's what I do know. I mean, Roethlisberger was wrong. The other thing is that if you were Ben, you know, isn't that something that's better said by giving Antonio Brown a call? Isn't that something in terms of you went out there and you called Antonio Brown out, and then all of a sudden, instead of if you're really truly sorry, you know, isn't that a call to be made to AB? instead of saying or telling the media that you're sorry and you feel bad and then you were in a wrong.
Well, he might have done that. We don't know that.
He didn't reference in the interview. He didn't reference that, you know, that. I'll tell you this. If he did
do that. I agree with you, by the way. I agree with you.
Taz, if he did do that, do you think Brown sending out the tweet he did?
Yes. Because Brown.
I don't think so.
No, because Brown seems like he's just.
If Roethlisberger called Antonio Brown and said, hey, I'm sorry the way it ended. You know, you're a great player. I love playing with you. I was wrong last year. I'd like to, you know, I want to move on from this. You know, I hope we can be okay moving forward.
Right.
You know, I'm going to miss throwing you the football. If he did something like that, Taz, you think Antonio Brown's... I don't think he's still sending out that tweet he sent yesterday, which then he deleted. I have a hard time envisioning that. I think Brown's got some sort of a human pulse going through his body.
accountability.
I mean, Taz, I do think that. I mean, that would be cold. If you call,
I might have jumped. You're right. It would be cold.
It
would be cold.
I mean, if and then all of a sudden you send out a tweet for public consumption. Shut up already. We were never friends.
I know.
That would be tough. I mean, that's the way I look at it from Roethlisberger, Taz, is just as he made the mistake in calling out Brown after that interception, I think he made another mistake. You know, if you're really sorry, if you really feel bad, have a conversation. You know, you can get asked the question, and Taz, there's a number of ways you can ask it. You know this as a former professional athlete, and answer that question. You could say, listen, that's between Antonio Brown and myself.
Absolutely.
You know, and not add any oxygen to it. Make that phone call and try and move on. The problem is, he wanted to get the message out there without going the extra step, the uncomfortable step of picking up the phone and making a phone call or doing something like that.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming, to your point, maybe Big Ben did not make a private call or send him a text or something like that to Antonio Brown. And maybe he just figured, maybe I'll come out, say it publicly, and then. It shows me eating crow, whatever you want to call it, just taking a high road.
And it'll get back to him.
Right, it'll get back to him. And it got back to him, and he just buried him and said, shut up.
No, that's exactly right.
And then he deleted it. So. Funny.
Let's head down to Carolina. Here is their head coach, Ron Rivera, on banged-up quarterback Cam Newton, ready for week one. What do you say, Ron?
He's made good strides, and we're pretty excited about it, you know, because we'll have a couple extra days to practice and get ready for the Rams as well. So, good.
Down your mind, he could be ready for it.
No, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, he's everything he's been doing, everything he's done, he did exactly what he needed to. And we're at the point now where, you know, it's just a matter of time before, you know, once we start our prep, our actual prep for the Rams, that he's back on the field.
Well, there you go. So if you're a Panther fan, you should be smiling ear to ear after that news yesterday that, you know, your head coach Ron Rivera expects Cam Newton to be ready to go week one of the NFL season.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought that, I mean, I'm happy for Cam and for the you know, for his team and for the Panthers fan base. But I'm surprised. Once you see the guy leaving the building, leaving the arena, the stadium, in a walking boot. You're thinking, okay, well, this is a guy who's had some injuries, and he's probably going to be out for a couple of weeks. Well, that's not the case, so good for them, man. That's great. That's great news for Cam.
Now, Newton's been a guy that's dealt with a lot of injuries, dealt with a lot of pain, has taken a lot of hits, style and fashion, which he plays Taz. So, you know, pain and Cam Newton have kind of gone hand in hand. It's good now. The question I'd have for Rivera is this. Is it going to be a limited Newton? Like, so last year, Cam Newton was healthy enough to play with a hurt shoulder, and he was very ineffective as the season went along.
Right.
What I want to know is the next question. All right, well, you fully expected him to be there game one. Okay, are there going to be no restrictions on Newton? You know, is he there going to... Now, he's never going to answer it because he's never going to give the opponent any kind of an edge, Taz, and we're still a ways away from week one. But that would be my follow-up question in terms of, is there any limitation to Newton? Because last year, there was. You saw him in the games, but he was terrible. He couldn't throw the ball.
And that's the thing. If there's limitations on Cam, especially running and scrambling, I mean, like that, that's such a massive part of his game, throwing on the run, getting out of the pocket, pulling the linebackers, sucking him up towards the line of scrimmage while he's on the scramble before he crosses the line of scrimmage. That's when he's really good.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Really good. So that if there's limitations to your question, dude, that could be a problem for them.
Yeah, let's head out to Oakland, and here is John Gruden talking about a former Bill quarterback. Take a listen.
I'm afraid to bring up Peterman's name with the media today, you know. I mean, look at it yourself. I don't know what, you know, he's hitting 75% of his passes. The ones that are incomplete are dropped. I mean, he runs, he passes, he's making audibles, he's getting better, and he's getting some confidence. So, you know, he's in the mix. I like him. I know other people that do, too.
Well, I mean, Peterman, I feel like Gruden's talked about more about Nate Peterman than he has Carr. Whenever he talks about his quarterbacks, he talks more about Peterman. He's got this love affair with Nate Peterman.
And you're right, and even on the Hard Knocks, but I'm assuming it's a thing where I think everybody knows Carr's the starter, Carr's the star.
It's just strange, though.
I know. He's trying to think maybe just say credibility to the guy that could be the backup if it's not Mike Lennon. That's why I'm thinking he's doing
it. You might be right. That might be true.
Yeah, but
he's in the mix. I like him.
Well, good for Peterman. I mean, it was a disaster up in Buffalo. He's given another opportunity. And, you know, we know Gruden is a quarterback / offensive guru, a savant. If he's impressing John Gruden, that's a good sign of your Nate Peterman.
How about when Gruden says, you know, I like him a lot. I know a lot of people that do also. Listen, that is such, that's like anonymous. That's like you, Moose, saying to somebody, you see a bunch of your friends at, you know, at Starbucks. Hey, Moose, hey, guys. And you run into your friends and like, how's that Taz? Oh, he's a great guy. I love Taz. I love working with Taz. He's a great guy. I love him. And a lot of other people love him, too. You could be lying. That's so, like, ambiguous.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah, you're right.
I know a lot of people that love Nate Peterman.
That's people, true. You're
his
right.
His wife, his kids, mom, his dad.
Yeah. He's in the mix. I like him.
Right. Hey, nobody in Buffalo, Coach. No one there loves him.
Right. He's inferring that there are other NFL or football people that like Peterman as well. But you're right. It's kind of
He said like he's in high demand. That's how he said it.
Right, not correct.
Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like there's some sort of there's a clamoring for Nate Peterman around the National Football League.
That's how he
because
said
I think,
it.
I think a lot of people look at Peterman and say, my God, I mean, his play at quarterback was embarrassing. How is he in camp with the Oakland Raiders? And Gruden gives you every opportunity. He takes every opportunity he possibly can to build him up.
Loves him.
Loves him.
Loves him. Loves
I mean, he absolutely adores him.
He rips Mike Lennon in those Hard Knocks, the giant backup quarterback, rips him. He rips him, verbally just... I mean, it's tough, very tough on him. I don't think Gruden dislikes Lennon.
It's just hard on him.
It's very hard on him, very
sometimes
hard.
Sometimes you're harder on a guy where you have high expectations
I think so.
That might be the case when you look at Mike Lennon. Let's head down to our nation's capital, the Washington Redskins, as we discussed with and chatted a little bit about yesterday with Joe Theismann, legendary Skins quarterback. Well, we still don't know Trent Williams in camp for the Redskins, left tackle, 7-time Pro Bowler, but... It was announced that they've got a new starting guard, former Giant bust and Miami star Eric Flowers will now be one of the starting guards for the Washington
Redskins.
Just
belongs
Redskins.
On the Redskins. Oh, just, you can't catch a break, dude. You get the ball.
it's amazing.
It really is.
The talent evaluators down in Washington are special.
It's not
a good thing.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable because this guy was a bust.
He was terrible with the Giants.
I couldn't remember the game.
Now he's playing tackle. Now he's playing guard.
I saw the guy have like 3 offsides in a row. Remember that like last year?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah.
God. I think we came on here. We smashed him.
He was absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal, Taz. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. For an offensive line for Washington that, you know, is going to miss arguably, you know, arguably the most talented player on the team. In Trent Williams, but clearly the best offensive lineman. And, you know, Theismann didn't give us all that much. He didn't know all that much about the situation. That's a disaster when you look at the importance of offensive line. I don't care what Donald Penn is, and he's played 14 years in the National Football
he's
League. He's not Trent Williams. And that's
no, he's not. No, he's not Trent Williams. Yeah, you guys, yeah, long, long away from
long
having the second version of the Hogs here. I don't see that happening with this offensive line you guys have. I mean, you know, Eric Flowers, like you said, not playing tackle, be playing guard. Maybe that helps the situation. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. Maybe. Morgan Moses, not a bad tackle. He's on the right side.
No, he's not a bad tackle.
He's not a bad tackle.
Played in Virginia.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, not a bad player. You know. How about the San Francisco 49ers, Taz? Remember Super Bowl MVP Malcolm Smith?
Yeah, of course I do.
He was released
by
the San Francisco 49ers. Yes. The big round of cuts. Remember when there used to be 2 rounds of cuts?
Yes, I do.
They've gotten rid of that. Now it's just one big round of cuts this upcoming weekend, where you go from, what, 90 camp personnel down to, what, a tad over, what was it, 53, I believe it is.
I think the
cut down to. So there's not the two waves of cuts. Now there's just the one wave, the ginormous tidal wave of cuts that you'll see coming your way this weekend.
I think as a player, you prefer that because you don't have
to. Really?
Yeah, I think so. There's none of that waiting around for, like, if somebody that maybe in camp was a little bit more, teamed a bit more intense than you, or maybe did a little bit better than you, and he got cut in that first round, but you made it, then you're like, oh boy, am I next here? You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. I think if you're on a cusp, you're worried. You know?
Now, let me ask you this, though, Taz. Let me throw in a little bit of a curve at you. If I was part of the old first round of cuts in the NFL, and it was a numbers game, doesn't that then give me an opportunity then to latch on with another team, get signed, if they're a little weak in a position, and maybe potentially make another team to where now, I mean, you look at it, it's all going to be flooded. I mean, everything's going to be flooded at one great skate. Do I have a better chance of making a team, another team, if I was cut by, say if I was in training camp with the Jets?
Yeah.
If I was cut by the Jets, do I have a better chance making the Dolphins when they have the one wave of cuts or if you have the two wave of cuts?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Get picked up by another team and making that team.
That's where the two wave of cuts would help you.
Right.
Right. That I agree with you on that.
You have a chance to make an impression on another team, right?
That's a fair point. That is. I was just thinking of the blow of getting cut.
Oh, yeah.
That, at least if it's a one full swoop, and you make it through the rain, all right, I made it. But to your point, yeah, I think if there's the two cuts, it's much, you got a better opportunity maybe with another squad.
To be that close, Taz.
I know.
I mean, to be that close.
Story of my life. Story of my life, man. So close. Story of my life. I still live daily.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir. Story
Taz,
of my life.
Taz, it's great to work with you as well.
Story of my life.
Right. That's why we march the beat of the same drum.
Well,
855-212-4CBS.
It's Taz and the Moose.
Taz and the Moose Fantasy Football League. It is fast approaching. We'll give you a little bit more of an update and a super fan of the show. Tweets and then deletes tweet. We'll
and then makes the run sheet, too.
Oh, no doubt. I know. Well, it was surprising. Surprising. He was sullen and sad earlier on in the week.
Well, I got to do this. Please, don't make me laugh.
No, I'm not. I didn't throw it a break yet. He called up the other day. I thought it was related to Andrew Luck, the way he was almost weeping on the air.
Oh, my God. You're killing me.
It was true.
Can we just do this, please?
Get out the napkins, the Kleenex. Speakerphone. We'll get into that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Well, Moose, as you know, support for Taz and the Moose comes from Manscaped. Number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. You mentioned Speakerphone. Speakerphone Jones, big fan of Manscaped. I know that for a fact. He told me anyway. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has a proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer will not nick or snag. That's not fun. Manscaped accidents are finally a thing of the past, and don't use the same trimmer on your face that you're using down there. That's just straight up nasty. Manscaped also has the crop preserver and an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits? Well, hell, why not put deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TAZ at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TAZ at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code TAZ.
So call 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, this Sunday, the stakes are high, starting with the finals of the 2019 Tai Chi Palace World's Strongest Man, presented by Rogue, followed by Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing. Then it's off to L.A., where one team puts their stamp on the season and raises the trophy as the Big Three Basketball Championship, only on CBS. A lot of action.
Yeah.
On CBS this weekend. 855-212-4CBS and CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Our good friends over at Geico, great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
So the Fantasy Football League, are we barreling through it right now, going into some more details, or what are we doing here?
Sure.
You mentioned you did a long tease into the last break. That's about a minute about one of our super fans, as you call them.
Yeah. Well,
which I like that term for a guy like this or a Kingsman super fan for the Taz and the Moose.
Yeah, they are. I mean, yeah.
and the Taz Show.
Right. Speakerphone Jones, I was given. I thought he pulled a tweet down because that's what it said on the run sheet. But I was misinformed on that. He did not. He put a tweet up.
My bad.
Did not take it down. So
Mike said it's his bad.
That was my fault.
Well, my bads are out the window.
He's dead on correct about that.
You know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you don't read the rundown, he gets upset. If you do read it, you get tripped up by his mistakes, and then he gets upset.
I'm not upset. I take full responsibility.
No, he does take full responsibility for it. I said, well, you got. I mean,
we're gonna
you
beat
can't,
the guy up for type of something wrong. Come
well,
on,
you can't word it that way.
Easy on Mikey B.
You can't word it that way.
Well, in defense,
no, I agree. I do.
But hold
agree
on, wait. In defense, though, to Mike. Okay, if we're gonna pull back the curtain here on Taz and the Moose, if you look at the run sheet, okay, there was a comment in there about Antonio Brown, and it says AB deleted the tweet. That's a note a producer would give, a good producer, which Mikey is, would give his host. Then later on, there's comments about this superfan and that he pulled the tweet, meaning Mikey B pulled it. But it's a little bit of...
No, it could be more direct. It should say, we have the sound of this tweet or whatever, something like along the lines of that.
Right. Right. All right.
Well, I was laying out. I thought you were...
I'm done. Mikey B just getting shot down.
We were just lawyering myself.
No, we were in the court of Taz. I was waiting for your...
No, bro, it's good. That's still it. The court session's over.
Oh,
I'm just listening to Mikey B. Just getting...
Gavel away. Can we stop with the chainsaw?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Please. What are we cutting down a forest?
No, well, we're cutting down Mikey B. That's kind
Bogus
of the
Bogus is already time chopped. Constraints here, so take it away, Andy.
Oh, thanks, Moose.
Well, wait, we need him for the thing.
I understand. We got to get to it.
Here's a report. It is sponsored by Geico. There's great news, guys. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Texans pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney reportedly planning to sign his franchise tag tender and report to the team this week, but then he found out that team was thinking about trading him, so he is staying away for the time being. All of that from NFL Network. Clowney has apparently met with Dolphins head coach Brian Flores. Houston said to want left tackle Laremy Tunstall in a deal with Miami. Titans running back Derrick Henry off the field since hurting his left calf in the very first practice of training camp, but Henry says he'll be good for week one. And Eagles wideout DeSean Jackson reportedly broke a finger in practice yesterday, but plans on playing their opener. College football now. QB Jack Sears has entered the transfer portal after losing a summer battle for the Trojan starting job. In fact, Sears ended up last out of four on the USC depth chart. It doesn't sound, though, like head coach Clay Helton is bothered by the decision.
He's done everything for us, and I don't hold it against him at all. Again, he's competed here. He's given his absolute best effort at all times. He's been a great teammate.
Sears will graduate in December, so he could play somewhere next season. Red Sox outfielder Jackie Bradley Jr. showed off last night at Coors Field.
Hits it high, hits it deep right field. That is going to go deep into the night. Third deck. Wow! Jackie Bradley Jr. makes it 2-0. And whether it's zero gravity or a lot of gravity, that ball...
Nerd alert! Josh Lewin on Red Sox Radio, JBJ, is homer measuring 478 feet, the longest by a Red Sox since StatCast started in 2015. Boston beat Colorado last night 10-6. The Dodgers blank the Padres 9-0. Baltimore 2, Washington nothing. The Cardinal win streak is 6 after a 6-3 final in Milwaukee. And the Cubs sent the Mets to their fourth straight defeat 5-2. The Yankees, yay, 7-0 winners in Seattle. Oakland 2, KC 1, and the Astros destroyed the Rays 15-1. Two homers for rookie DH Yordan Alvarez. Yesterday, TMZ released audio it says is Lakers center DeMarcus Cousins threatening his ex-girlfriend. She is seeking a restraining order. The team and the league say they are looking into the allegations. And Rafael Nadal among the final winners on day two of the U.S. Open. Sloane Stephens among the losers. Roger Federer, Venus Williams, and Madison Keys play today. Serena Williams and Novak Djokovic tonight. Guys?
Good job, Andrew.
Are you still in the draft? Are you still...
As long as Darwin and Heller aren't knocking me out, or Marco,
you have to leave
I'm in.
Now, but you, so you're I not going to be part of this conversation.
No, he's not.
Sorry.
He's got to go.
All right. Take care.
See you guys in an hour, presumably.
Thank you, Andrew.
Take care, pal.
Thank you. Good luck with your other responsibilities.
So
no, they're off this week.
Yeah, and they don't like him anymore anyway.
It's Jerry and Joe Beningo.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
That's it.
So Speakerphone Jones, we got one of his tweets. And voiced him over. Here he is, Speakerphone Jones, on trying to get into the Fantasy Football League. Take a listen.
This is it. This is the reason why every morning I walk around here, tiptoeing around my family.
What?
Phone plugged to the ear.
He's passionate.
Listening to Taz and the Moose. Never missed an episode. Been there since day one. And I'm ready to represent #WeOver in the Fantasy Football League.
Wow. It's a simple play, a simple pitch, I should say.
That's a simple one?
Yeah, it's like, I guess. It's a simple pitch to say, hey, guys, let me in. I mean, the next one he'll do, he'll be crying. He'll sob.
He's got a very emotional tone to his voice.
Well, he's also got his face is very sorry sap. If you look at him, sometimes he puts, I don't mean that in a bad way, but if you look at his face like on social media.
Like Cowboy Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, correct. Like that, or like, remember Willie Loman from Death of a Salesman?
Yes.
Sorry, Sap Jones.
That was a depressing movie.
Yeah, that's kind of
Speakerphone
Jones.
Being down by life and work and stuff like that.
Yeah, he hit the skids.
Yeah, so Dustin Hoffman, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Wow, very good. Yeah. So you're like, wow, acting. Well, anyway, yeah, so Speakerphone Jones.
That movie
ladies and gentlemen,
me a little bit.
I guess that's an example, that audio right there. That was the real speaker. That wasn't voiceover. That was the real Speakerphone
Jones. No,
that was
him.
That was
correct.
Really him.
Yes.
The real one. And that audio is an example, folks, of someone with the burning desire to be in the Taz and the Moose Fantasy Football League. This is what you have to do. You have to beg. You have to plead.
Grovel,
yes. And then we'll make fun of you on the radio. And then maybe we'll let you in. So is he on the docket now? We're going to have him on the docket,
but he
right?
said he tiptoes around his family. So early in the morning down in Houston, you know, his family's sleeping. He's walking.
Correct. That's
he's
what
he's walking the condo, the apartment, the house, whatever it might be.
He might have wood floors.
And he's tiptoeing around with his, you know, with the earbuds in his ear listening to Taz of the Moose.
You don't want to wake up
sure
the baby.
Not to wake anybody up.
Don't want to wake the baby up.
He has a young baby.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know his the amount of kids he has, but... Maybe he has a baby.
Or maybe he does.
You don't want the baby crying.
No, of course you don't want the baby crying.
I love Taz and the Moose!
Just play that one more time.
Let's hear the
wailing cat in the background. Let's
that
hear the speakerphone.
Actually.
Thank you.
This is it. This is the reason why every morning I walk around here tiptoeing around my family, phone plugged to
the
ear,
yeah,
listening to Taz and the Moose.
Don't
never missed an episode.
Like
been there since day one, and I'm ready to represent #WeOver.
Sleeps in a factory
in the Fantasy Football League.
No, yeah. It's not like one of those oscillating fans. That's like a heavy duty fan he's got going on in the background.
I think you're right. The first fan you said, I think it's one of those big heavy metal.
Yeah.
Like
it's
you
not
go,
one of those old school standing oscillating ones.
No, I think this is a big metal one that like they have at factories when people are rolling cigars in Cuba. You know what I mean? That's what it sounds like. It really does sound like that. You're right.
It really does. That's a tremendous pitch.
Well, yeah.
It's an A-plus pitch.
It's passion.
It really is.
It's passion. We don't know. We don't know if he's in. We hope so. He's hoping for another life, or there could be death for him in this thing. So maybe he's not in.
I think, right now he's a leading contender.
He's our only contender.
No, he's not.
No, I'm being sorry.
No, we've
got it was just for the sake of a joke.
I understand.
No, we have a litany of people that are
build
clamoring.
Don't tear us down.
There's
plenty
of
people that are looking to tear us down.
Plenty. Plenty of people.
Exactly.
That's a great point. They're all coming to get us.
Right. It's like chum in the water.
It's
no, but that is that's a great example. You have till Friday. So you could be aggressive like Speakerphone Jones did and send out a little video. You could do it if you're a wordsmith. You could do it that way. Whatever you might be. You know, you got a couple days here. You know, to
what if you want to type one
to
up
to kiss Bisseglia's rear end?
What if you want to send like?
Because he ultimately he's the first strain. He's like
first line of defense.
Correct. Yeah. He's the strainer you have to get through strain. In order for us to get to see exactly who we're going to be selecting.
I'm calling Mike the first line of defense. You're calling him strain. Like he's like
no
a
the strainer.
Like
you're straining.
I know
pasta.
What a strainer is.
I know. Pasta strain.
I know how to strain things.
Al dente, baby.
My whole life has been about strain and pain. I understand about strains. What? Trust
no,
me.
Strainers.
I know
about,
with the water.
I'm not talking about your strain of life.
Well, sorry,
and the
deep.
Grind of life. So, I'm talking about a little penne alla vodka.
Nice.
To take it out of the water. 8 minutes.
Maybe a little Gavadil.
Right. So, heavily salted water. Like
nice.
The,
yes.
Like the sea.
Yes. Yeah, a little rigatoni, maybe. Nice.
You could go that way.
As we veer into pasta
Gavadils.
Chatter. Gavadil. Can I have some of that cavatelli? That's what they call it when they're not over here. Listen.
Hit us up at Taz and the Moose.
Well, yeah. Oh, we're going to break now already? I had a lot more to say about this.
We can continue the conversation.
Oh, my God.
What?
Show goes so fast. I need more time to talk.
It flies by. It goes by quick.
It really does, man.
It does. So you have till Friday. Friday we make the picks, correct?
Yeah. Friday?
Friday.
Yes. Yes, this Friday we make
yes,
the picks.
Yes, correct. So you have a couple days here. Thank you.
Well, because I'm getting ready, because I'm working Labor Day. So I'm getting ready to, I'm getting show prep for Labor Day.
No, I know. So, but for Friday, I'm not working Labor Day.
Right.
So Friday, we have to make our selections.
So we're doing everything around
the next
schedule.
Couple days, you got to get them in. They've begun to, the rush has begun.
Yeah.
It's Taz and the Moose.
Yeah.
Hit us up, at Taz and the Moose on Twitter. Send it to us. It's CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
You got that right. Rolling right along here on this Wednesday morning, Taz, on CBS Sports Radio. Top of the hour, we're going to talk to John Kuhn, 12-year fullback in the National Football League. Packers, Steelers, 2-time Super Bowl champion, played a long time. We'll talk a little Green Bay football with him. You know, a couple interesting NFL notes that we have not touched upon as of yet. Number one is we all know, you know, Carly Lloyd from women's soccer fame, right? An
yes.
all-time great women's national team player, a Hall of Famer at Rutgers, a Garden State girl here in the tri-state area. And we saw her at Eagles practice kick, I think what was, in essence, the first kick was, I think, an extra point. And then the second kick, she lined up from 55 yards out and hit it as well. And we know, as we've talked about before, how many times you see former soccer players. You mentioned... Sure. You know, in reference to grow, you know,
as a kid, my son,
your son's
grew up,
team,
yeah, we
right.
coached, yeah, when he was
and now
young,
he's kicking
player.
At what was it, Buffalo?
At Albany.
Albany,
yeah,
Albany.
Yeah.
He's kicking at Albany
yeah.
as a former soccer player.
Yeah.
So I guess there's, you know, a little bit of heat to maybe Carly Lloyd hooking on with an NFL team, maybe before the final preseason game after
crazy.
The video came out of her kicking a 55 yard field goal.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, I don't mean that like negatively. Like it's crazy. It's just a wild story. And if this would have happened, it's a little bit different kicking when a holder's holding the ball through the uprights, and then you have 11 angry, gigantic men coming at you in that ball. Now the kicking changes.
Yes.
She's not used to that.
That's true.
She's not used to that.
Well,
so, that
where it's all about timing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You got to hope the snap is right. You got to hope the hold is right. You got to be there, to your point, Moose, on that timing, and you got to hope someone don't slip through. Now they come in to slip through and block, and they're laying their 6'3" body across your foot, and you see this gigantic dude coming, and you're Carly Lloyd. You're not used to that. So I don't know. I think it'd be amazing, right, if she...
Well, I think it would be great. I mean, you know, it'd be fun. It'd be interesting. And I think it would be entertaining, Taz.
But, she going to the Bills?
But you're right, Taz. There's a lot more to it.
It's a lot more to it, dude.
I think when you watch a field goal kicker and you watch something that's practiced over and over and over and over and over again, they make it look very, very easy in what is kind of a difficult task because...
Yeah.
You know, as a field goal kicker, you know, you have to trust that the snap is right, the kick will, you know, the snap will,
the hold,
ball will get down,
right
the hold will get down.
Right.
that the protection will hold up. And even if the protection doesn't hold up, Taz, you can have the peripheral vision to have you be affected by guys coming across your body. You have to try and follow through and get that kick off. And sometimes there are guys that know once they put their plant foot down and start to release their leg that they know that they're going to get drilled or hit, they have to continue to do it.
So she, Carly, would
not
have
saying
to,
she can't do it. I mean, it would be fascinating to see her get signed. It really would.
It'd be amazing. It'd be groundbreaking. It'd be groundbreaking stuff. I hope it happens. I mean, I really do, because I think it'd be really cool. But I mean, everybody's getting hung up in how great of an athlete she is, and she is, and how great she can kick, and we know that, and her success as a soccer star, megastar. But it's a big difference having fun at a football field, you know, with an NFL team, while everybody's just got their helmets off, drinking water, laughing, getting some sun after practice, and while, you know, you're kicking these balls, and everybody's like, wow, look at how strong her leg is. Well, dang, her leg should be strong. She's playing soccer and kicking balls. She's just a little girl. I mean, so at the highest elite level. But line 11 guys up, coming out of full bore. Business picks up when that happens. Things change.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what the next layer to this story is. The latest and greatest that she's given it serious consideration. At least one team has thought about or asked her to come into camp, maybe be active for the fourth and final preseason game. We'll see how much more legs there is to this story. Taz, want to go down to Alabama, play a cut here. An interesting comment by Alabama head coach Nick Saban. Because we talk about guys getting second chances to play Division I, in this instance, major Division I college football. Here is Saban, getting defensive, mind you, about maybe taking risks and gambles on guys that have made mistakes early on in life. Take a listen.
You know, there's always a lot of criticism out there when somebody does something wrong. Everybody wants to know, how are you going to punish the guy? All right, but there's not enough for 19 and 20-year-old kids, people out there saying, why don't you give them another chance? All right, so I'm going to give a speech right now about this. Like, where do you want them to be? Guy makes a mistake. Where do you want them to be? You want them to be in the street? Or do you want them to be here graduating? You know, when I was over there at the Nagurski, Mohsin Muhammad, who played 15 years for the Carolina Panthers, played for me at Michigan State. Everybody in the school, every newspaper guy, everybody was killing a guy because he got in trouble and said there's no way he should be on our team. I didn't kick him off the team. I suspended him. I made him do stuff. He graduated from Michigan State. He played 15 years in the league. All right, he's a president of a company now. And he has 7 children, and his oldest daughter goes to Princeton. So who was right? I feel strong about this now, really strong. All right, about all the criticism out there of every guy that's 19 years old that makes a mistake, and you all kill him. And then some people won't stand up for him. So my question to you is, where do you want them to be? You want to condemn them to a life sentence? Or do you want the guy to have his children going to Princeton? You want to close on that, or we want this?
It's like, all right, I guess we're done.
You guys are getting me fired up. You better be careful on this one, buddy. You might want to just pass that thing on down the road.
There you go. There he is. That is Saban a couple days ago.
That's why guys love to play for him, man. Something like that right there.
It's interesting, Taz, because I also think there's, obviously, and Saban knows this, there's a smart guy, there's different levels of trouble, too.
Yeah, of course.
You know, there's mistakes that you can make and then there's life-changing mistakes that you can make too, or
sure.
decisions,
sure.
right?
Sure.
In terms of violence, affecting other people and everything like that. So, and we've seen teams and programs take chances and second chances and third chances on those guys.
Right.
And give them an opportunity. I think the point from Saban is this, is that instead of, you know, I get the sense he grows tired of, instead of, you know, thinking about a guy and looking at a guy, and not painting everybody with the same brush, I think in the way that teams are covered now, if you get into trouble, you're the same as everybody. Everybody's the same. And I think that's what's frustrating to him, is that he's looking at it and saying, you know, we're trying to affect these guys in the future, not just as football players, but as men, and, you know, help them learn and grow and give them an opportunity that they would never get if they were not, you know, big-time Division I athletes.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's looking
at. I think you're right. I also, listen, he said a lot of things there that were on point. I mean, and me as a dad of a kid that age, you know, a 20-year-old, you know, 19, 20-year-old, 18, you know, 21-year-old, you know, there's a lot of mistakes that these guys are going to make. I mean, at that age, you know, kids make mistakes. They do some stupid things. But I think you make a good point, Moose. I mean, some things are, yeah, if you're doing something where there's, like, violence involved or something like that, and you're right, I think Saban understands that. But if a kid is really, whatever, gets into a fight in the commons on campus and gets in trouble with the school or he's
public intoxication,
which happens on every campus, or he academically is flopping and he's not going to study hall and study hall's not doing nothing for him, and you keep talking to him, and then he flunks out. You got to give him another chance. You got to, something like that. I think you got to give him a chance, because kids are in these, and you'll see when your kids get older, like it's a very it's not an easy age to parent. Not that I can tell you. It's there's some great times with it as a parent, but it does get tough because they're in it's a transitional time for young men and women, I believe, in that 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old, even 22-year-old. Forget about athletes. Just that age, you know, and their generation. This generation is different than your generation or my generation. It's different. The social media and the distractions and how they're, you know, we've talked about it a lot. That changes these kids. They make mistakes. They do stupid things. Their whole life's for public consumption or whoever follows them. You know what I mean?
It is.
Yeah, so it's just different than when we were younger, you know?
Well, and the other thing that it has is that there's not just that, but things could also get blown up as well because everyone's got a video camera.
No, that's exactly right.
So, I mean, when you're at a party on a campus, whatever yeah. college might be, you have no idea someone could be recording you, and you have no idea that you're being recorded. Not saying, I'm talking about where things could get taken out of context, things could be overblown, whatever. All of a sudden, it's being thrown out there, and people are digesting it and taking it in. Listen, from a Saban perspective, is this, he's a really tough coach to play for. He demands a lot of his players, right? And he's a tough guy to coach under, because we know that he runs through assistants and runs through coordinators, especially offensively. And could be a tough guy. It's a grind to coach under.
Right.
But you do get this sense about Saban is this. He really cares about his players.
He does. He really does.
I think you saw that last year, especially after the SEC championship game, talking about Jalen Hurt, where he got emotional, right? And talking about what a good player, what a good teammate he has been, what a great representation of Alabama as he stepped in for the injured Tua. And led Alabama to that comeback victory over Georgia in the SEC championship game. I think there's people look at Saban and look at him as kind of this unemotional robot, Taz. But I took away from that the message clearly. But I also took it about the fact that Saban really does. Maybe on the outside he gives you kind of this Teflon look. Nothing's going to impact me. But you get a sense he really does care about his players.
I think he does. I think that's why he's so intense a lot of times. And he's so, you know, and people think he's just got a bad temper and he's short-fused and all this jazz. I think he's ultra-intense because he has an ultra amount of passion. That's why. And I also think that's one of the main reasons why he's so successful. Because he cares immensely. And he does wear his emotion on his sleeve, and he shows you. He shows you his stress. He shows you his tensions, and he's an open book man with that. And if I was a player, even though I've had tough coaches, and you could tell this guy's a tough egg to play for, but hearing him chat right there, what he just said to the media, if you're a player, you're like, yo, coach, we got your back. Let's go. I mean, how could you not? I mean, that's a player's coach comment right there.
Well, there's no doubt. And I think that's also, a message to the parents out there, too.
True, true, very true.
Is it not?
Yeah,
I mean, you know this better than anybody, Taz. I mean, you know, your son's a Division I lacrosse player. You know, when you are dropping him off at campus, you know, you're entrusting those coaches
Absolutely.
To look out after your son.
That's right. When he's going into his freshman, when he's coming out of high school, going in, that's what you want. When in through the recruiting process, you think of that. You want to make sure that your son or daughter is going to be with the right program, because those coaches are an extension of you, the parents. You know, and some of these coaches, to be frank, are douches.
Yeah.
They really are. They're phony salesmen.
I can only imagine.
And some of them are nice guys. So, I mean, but it's tough to figure that out. But that's the truth. That's just a fact.
Well, that's where your old, the old Taz gut check comes
into Wednesday.
Play, right?
Yeah, happy
that's
Wednesday.
That's it. Exactly. John Kuhn. We'll talk about Packers. We'll do that next with the former Super Bowl champion or current Super Bowl champion. Not current. Former Super Bowl champ. Next, Taz Boots, CBS Sports Radio.